And the committee is still open.
Lee, I wanted to ask a question. Bernard said to me that he had started a survey on his own with the employees at the station. Is that this?
He's doing his own individual staff anonymous.
Okay.
He had all the meeting staff fill out a list of their duties and responsibilities and titles, what, you know, their job and how they can improve it, and meet with each one to evaluate the staff.
Question on the or by my participation in the group that you lead, search committee. At what point did the personnel committee initiate the survey or the eval of the IP?
From what I understand,
that's new to me.
I'm just telling you what hearsay was. John Crumpshaw told me he asked me to help him facilitate this since I did the PD evaluation 3 years ago, which has been over 3 years ago, into the last one with this company, Ridgecrest. The motion actually passed when he was still chair of this LSB, and then the personnel committee approved it as it is in its current form last August. And it was paid for last September 2011. I would encourage members to ask him or check the email.
Yeah, I
would. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to email with the deadline because I have to admit I didn't know it was coming either until there it was.
You know, and I.
Okay, you know,
I told John he should have sent out notices that this was coming up.
Totally, I
before it went out, it caught everyone off guard, and then he sent out that explanation after the fact, and everyone's emailing back saying, "Where's the survey?" The deadline is March
30th. Okay.
I encourage anyone who didn't receive the survey to let John know so that he can get it to
read. I did receive the survey, it didn't have my name on it, so that's good. Just to follow what you said, I did have a look at what Bird's doing in showing. I think what he's doing is very good management techniques, essentially self-evaluation on people both on their programs and on as employees. You know, do you think you're doing what you should be doing? How can you do it better? And one of the employees showed me what they were doing. I thought, these are good questions. So tell us about what we're doing, but seems like a good management. Personnel committee, Kathy Davis has moved to initiate self-evaluations across the network. But that's separate. I want to move to reserve 15 minutes for executive session. There is a related executive session issue relevant to the evaluation and the PD search.
Is there an objection?
I object because this is not noticed.
This IP meeting has been known for almost a whole year that we're doing it, and we're done it.
Okay.
Well, can't be a surprise to you that you have it.
All right, if you want to, I'm relevant to the question at hand. There's a motion to have an executive session at the end of the meeting.
Is it relative to the IPD evaluation? Is that what the executive session was relative to? Just what you're saying. I'm not sure what you're asking the executive session for. Can you just clarify what part of the discussion?
Personnel issue?
Personnel, not related to the IPD evaluation?
It is.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to get
it out of
the deal. Okay, thank you.
I have no idea why we would go to the closed session to discuss something we just discussed. Is being affected. So, and other speakers call up in the executive session.
Right, is this a point of order or something else?
Comment on it very briefly. This is going to carve, as I understand the motion, will carve 15 minutes from the existing agenda. We have important governance stuff at the year, so I would not support it unless there were a motion to extend by 15 minutes.
To extend by 15 minutes.
There's a motion on the floor.
when an immigration occupied the hood has been free starting at 4.
No, I talked about this, but it's all there now.
Oh, did I? So yeah. That was the roommate email you got last night?
It's a subsequent one thing.
Okay, that was all answered.
Thank you. Okay, so are there objections to adding 15 minutes at the end of the meeting for an executive session?
I think there was a free discussion on the floor.
The
motion to
hold an
executive session, then a motion to extend
15
minutes. Which one's on the floor?
Well, the motion to extend
15
minutes is the last motion made.
No, well, we have to vote on the first one.
That would be
the amendment to the first one, the 15 minutes first.
Well, that was amended. That was amended.
Okay,
that was
amended, yes. Okay, so. All in favor of extending the meeting 15 minutes? For the amendment. One.
Extending time to the meeting requires 2/3 of the agenda was approved.
Yes.
Okay, no, excuse me. So then the entire motion as amended will require 2/3. We'll just pass an amendment to put an amendment to the motion. Now the entire motion is on the floor. That motion includes extending the meeting. In order to pass,
point of order.
So we
Here's the business of the meeting. The amendment does not extend the meeting. The amendment only changes the motion. The motion on the floor now is to extend the meeting by 15 minutes and add an executive session. That motion will require 2/3 in order to pass.
The amendment passed.
It doesn't change the meeting. To change the meeting, we need 2/3.
Yeah.
Point of order.
Yes.
I believe the intent of that, when we change the agenda, means putting either deleting agenda items or adding agenda items. I do not believe it has to do with the duration, because if you have an earthquake in the middle of a meeting or something, you can delay it, and we've had our delays. So logically, it doesn't apply to time. It applies to changing the order, adding the items. We're not adding. We are adding an item to the end. But the amendment should pass.
Okay, historically, the government has served as a government parliamentarian. Anything you care to say on this issue?
The chair is right. There was a majority to amend the motion on the floor, so the motion is amended. Because the motion on the floor will change the agenda, it will require 2/3 to pass the motion on the floor.
Okay, so I'm calling the question. All in favor of the motion to add 15 minutes at the end of the meeting for an executive session, thereby extending the meeting for 15 minutes, indicate by raising your hand.
Wait, we just voted on this.
Excuse me, we did not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're saying it requires 2/3, so therefore it does not pass.
Wait, it's
not the line
number
8.
Yeah,
Moving on to the BD Search Committee report. BD Search Committee is elected. Yes. Last BD Search Committee meeting was an open session. Unfortunately, we didn't get much participation from the public. The meeting was due.
composed the questions for the first round of interviews. Our current pool of candidates is down to about 12 or 13, and we hope to start scheduling phone interviews for that pool as soon as these questions are finalized.
Just a clarification, the open portion is to discuss the criteria, and the closed portion is to discuss the questions.
Thank you, that's correct. Thank you.
Any questions from the OSC members regarding that? Okay, we now have a third public comment period. Public comment, 7.5 minutes of public comment on any topic you wish.
Okay.
Are people in the order that they were previously? Gentlemen, this is where they were. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Shiva Rupan. I'm an active listener at CPSK and also an organizer in the study conference area for environmental justice issues. So I'm speaking in regards about the 5 hours of Spanish-speaking programming that were previously approved and never implemented without any justification. A group of us, I represent one of the groups that proposed one of those programs in Spanish-speaking, programs that were focused on environmental justice issues. Primarily affecting the LA area. So I came to represent the excluded tribe in Spanish speaking, and by sensing the Spanish speaking community who are in really big need to have a program that really talks about environmental justice issues and also talks about the Spanish speaking in terms of migrant perspective and low income perspective and what it means to be a person of color within LA. So I come to talk about specifically that and ask the question, why is this program not being put into place when the need of the community is very well represented at this meeting? When we're living in LA, where the majority of the people living in this area are Spanish-speaking communities. So why is an organization or a radio station that is meant to speak to the community's needs is not being represented or following through with it? So this programming that I when we propose, comes to speak about the environmental justice issue through a perspective that is relevant to the community itself. So really talking about the youth, talking about students, migrant issues, Spanish speakers, parents, and connecting them to this idea of environmental justice. So how do we begin building a movement that is relevant and really important for this community? So my first and first foremost question is, why isn't this program, where is the justification behind it, why is it not in place, and why was my proposal discriminated against and ignored when we followed a process that was very already established? Why was our program ignored and other programs were put into place without following this order? And I think that's a very big injustice, especially to a radio station that has come to represent and speak against an oppressive structure when people are actually following through what the rules that you set before us. So I can make question that and bring it to you.
I want to pose a question for everybody. We've had a situation in Arizona where the head of the education department for the state has banned all kinds of books, has banned the ability of the youth be able to read about their history and therefore, you know, be able to go forward with a positive self-concept. How is it any different what's happening in Tucson, what's happening here at KPFK, when people who have a valid right to have to be listened to have a chance to come on the air and bring out the history, bring out the problem, are being denied that simply for the who gives a damn if we have the power, we have the numbers, and we will do what we want. What is the difference? And I ask those of you who vote against this or who back up that policy to look at yourself and ask yourself that question. Even The Tempest by Shakespeare was banned. On Films of Disobedience by Henry David Thoreau was banned. That's not just including the parts of that were banned for Spanish language 500 years, revisited of oppression, and all the other books. What is the difference here? And can you look at yourself and say, hey, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to burn the books like they did in Germany during the time of the Nazis? look at yourself and say what you feel and act, and if you will reconsider your way that you think. And I know you're turning, John, you're turning away from me, and I wanted to address you. I've always thought of you as your friend. I always talk to you about your dog and stuff like that. Do you treat your dog like that? You don't want to give him pet go or anything like that? You need I to think about these issues. These are very important issues. You don't want to have any civil war against it.
Just in case anyone asks, my name is Terry Goodman. I want to point out to the public that the local station board does not program the radio station, so don't accept the satisfactory answers to any programming questions. And I want to point out to the local station board that if board members wish to be kept advised of KPFK-related events, they should join the KPFK email newsletter. They can do that on the website.
Is that Alan Minsky?
No.
Good.
Okay. Laura and I usually camp out at the front drop at the station. When we camp out in the front room at KPFA, there's a sign on the wall, "This food is not for you if you give a check here." The volunteers during the last fund drive are few and far between. The food is basically going to paid employees. We've got a structural problem with the fact that we now pay our food coordinator and she sucks up to anybody up the ladder. That's her nature. For 3 years, the food has been diminishing in the station and the volunteers are disappearing.
Wow.
To repeat myself, in KPFA, that food is not for employees. It's posted.
I want to talk to her and with the back and everything, and I'll just say he's absolutely on mark. There may well be a push from the other Pacific station concerning Spanish language programming that may well reflect the demographics of their community that may would be well and good. Notwithstanding the case, can push forward rather than push back. KPFK, there's nothing stopping KPFK from pushing forward by implementing immediately to a 3 hour programming immediately between the 5 to 9 hour. Those of you that do not speak Spanish, those of you that do not have the privilege of listening to the Spanish language programming, my friends, it's very, very good. There's absolutely nothing, no problems whatsoever. Content problems, political content problems with any of the programming in Spanish. I don't like Northern LA. I've lived in Northern California for many, many years. I need to be honest with you, that one of the glowing points of living in Southern California is listening to Spanish language programming on KPFK. Damn good. Don't be afraid. Because I watch cheap TV in Chinese sometimes and I wonder, what are they talking about? Armenian TV is fascinating, but I don't know where it's not an idea of what they're talking about. And my sympathy, my last name is Clark, I was born in Oklahoma. My sympathy, and those of you that can't understand the content of the Spanish language programming, my sympathy goes out to you. But I'm speaking to you, 16 years old, don't worry, it's good quality. As far as TV goes, I think a little bit of the dynamic that's going on with TV in front of you. Anyone that's
coming in, that's just a question.
Thank you.
The kind of issues that come up here make me say once again that we need strategic planning to encompass the goal of our problems. As of 2 or 3 years ago, there was something more than $5 million, over $5 million that the Pacific has spent on legal issues, settlement of water. I'm sure it's well over $5 million by now. I'm talking about the last few years, I'm talking about 50 years. This calls for a need for conflict resolution procedures which have not been invented a long time ago and perfected. An omnibus person in any station.
Speak into the microphone.
An omnibus person in any station. Mediation to the utmost degree to avoid going to court, avoid having law, lawyers, or legal cases. We would save millions of dollars. and this also means that more stability on the part of people here who disagree. We can disagree very strongly, and we don't like you. And it's obvious that we will be saying to you.
We're trying to the whole public.
It is not proper that my time was used for the cat, to defend the cat, and I have not been able to address any other issue. And there are so many issues to address. Therefore, I have had no public comment opportunity.
Okay, there's one more period of public comment. You leave it for
the time. Why can't I speak rather quickly?
Time is up.
Why can't I just speak quickly on a very important issue that has nothing to do with the cat?
Refer to Tom.
I'm sorry, you missed the public comment period. Thank you.
90 seconds? You do not have? But you have 90 seconds to wait. Oh, Leah!
Thank you. Moving on, we have the program oversight committee report.
Can we the presence of three members of the local extension board this time, and we want to make sure next time more people come, because we need to get they created the program in the committee, and I don't think we passed any motion that day, because we did talk about the issue of the algorithms and how this alert were implemented, or according to the GM, wanted to have implemented, which was basically having their number that was Jenny Kurt, Kimberly, and Bernard Lucas number, so they can be reached when there is any issue with the iPhone. So, but there is not a system in place yet. You know, that's basically one of the things. And then all the issue we talked was about Patron 2. And we addressed the issue of the agents or the people who are listening to the radio station, which, you know, is kind of our age, you know, kind of 45 plus, you know, so it's not a job people listening to the radio station at this time. And one of the issues about the contract rules that was added was that, you know, the preemption took at one point that was brought up with the preemption issue, and it has to do with, you know, most of the programs are preempted to sell issues for health, right? And it is kind of natural that the thing for health will sell more because all people listen, right? So a lot of people are listening just to kill ourselves. You know, so that's, you know, the issue that we see that the difference. Yeah, our background is so that, you know, there were, you know, let's say at the same time there were like 32 phone calls, and those calls were created, and they were at the same time, you know, let's say 4 phone calls which made more money, you know, using the time of the program that was created. So that means, you know, that you're very happy that people have the money to buy, I don't know, $200 premium in stock, and now those people who are giving $25. So it's something that we have to think about.
Thank you. There actually was a motion which was to call on management to broadcast the DUI report, but that's moved because they've actually already adopted that, and as Ali pointed out, they're on the KPSK Facebook page.
But the preemption issue is never addressed.
Yes, but the preemption issue is not a motion, and so we're moving on to the next.
How long
does this
need to be made?
That was from the oversight. Next committee is finance.
No questions? No questions?
We'll just skip and move to government.
Alright, well.
Can I just ask a question?
Alright, answer
that. I just have one question. In remarks to what the public comment made, is there any feasibility of getting some of the Spanish language program translated and rebroadcast or at least posted on the website so that non-Spanish speakers could
And I think that has to be one with, you know, PD and GM too, because they're going to provide nobody decided to do it. But yeah,
I would assume that they volunteered for the translation stuff, right?
Well, yeah, it's science.
Marlene has a question.
The English programming is never translated.
I agree with you on the fund drive and, you know, this thing, a lot of the programs really need stuff and all the health promotion. I guess my question to you would be, first of all, I like Ken's idea about taking a program, which I think is very good, and unfortunately I do not speak Spanish and have a translation on the web. I would enjoy that. I think it's a creative idea that you could kind of kick around possibly with the committee would be, I know people really like college shows, and I was thinking maybe during the next fund drive period you could do a really interesting college show, keep it, you know, positive, what are the things we'd like to hear, etc. And maybe we could do, I understood too that gifts for that airtime sometimes you don't have enough. Maybe we could do draws for a bigger prize, you know, for people call, like the 8th caller will get, whatever. But I'd like to see you doing something really exciting for that time of year.
I think it's programming content now.
Alright, so we're moving on to the finance committee report.
This is something. I've heard it all now.
Please stop calling out finance committee report.
Well, the finance committee report seems only interested in the LSC expenses, but I'm going to extend that to the station expenses.
Yeah, no,
that's actually a lot more interesting.
Go ahead.
Zero. Please, let's do it. LSC expenses last month.
Good.
Satisfy your extreme interest in this subject. I'm going to read off the highlights of our recent budget comparison to actual, the highlights of it. Our listener support is 447,000 and some change below our budget, okay? So over $400,000 below what was in our budget for listener spend. We've made up a little on donations of $1,000, community events, car donations, and the CCB, we got a little bit more than was initially put in the budget because we didn't know at the time what the amount was. Nevertheless, our total income to date is below budget by $420,000. That's what's going on. Our total expenses thus far have been $107,000, better than budget. So,
bigger than or over budget?
Under budget. We're not maxing out our expenses. There are some areas that are higher and lower, and, you know, we're looking at that. But overall, we're not busting the budget over expenses. However, the net amount is $364,162 worth of the budget to date. And this is especially significant since the majority of our money is raised in the first 6 months of the year. So we're in 6 months. We have one major fund drive and one smaller fund drive for the rest of the year. So, y'all, we need to think about what's going on here, because we need more listeners, and through more listeners, we're going to get more donations. That seems to be the main focus. We can continue to fundraise from the dwindling pool of people, but that's not really going to get us
anywhere.
And thank you, Bella.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Okay, questions from the audience, Greta and Brett.
If we have that in writing, so we can see it.
I don't have it in writing. I just print it out. Next time, I'll print it out.
I have a question. Would it be possible? I know that we improved the LSC budget
at the state budget, would we be able to include if there is any staff budget within the future financials?
No.
No?
All right, you know, it's so minuscule, Brenda, compared to $400,000 loss.
I mean, I understand that, but I'm wondering, that is, I'm just bringing it up here, just so we have knowledge of that.
What are you asking?
Would it be possible to discuss a cap budget, or if there's a budget available through CDB?
No, there is no budget available through CDB. I would suggest to read what CPB says. I've sent it out many times. And the LSB and the CPB and the CAF must remain separate. How it's dealt with on the budget for, you know, a couple $100s, I don't know, we've never really separated it.
I'll let you in a second, though.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, that information is from the...
We are just about submitting, I prepared an interim budget so that we can get a grant from the CPB. So that's how much you know.
Okay, thank you.
And I want you also be aware of this, okay? So that we can be operational.
Thank you.
The work you do is important, and it's good work, and thank you for it. A question, and if the answer is no, a motion, so maybe a question that you can be, why, how would you feel about a motion that requested annually, end of year financial balance sheet, income statement, and every quarter subsequent to the end of the year, every quarter, quarterly financial, consisting of budget to actual and income statement, which is income and expenditure. It's valuable work. It is a public record, is my friend. I'm not sure why it hasn't today been shared. From my brief 4 month experience as treasurer, I know that there is sometimes difficulty getting it timely on a monthly basis. But I think we should have it quarterly here as a body to draw on the expertise of yourself and your staff members and general manager to ask some folks questions. So I would make as a motion, if I may, Mr. Chair, at this time, that at year end we be provided with the standard balance sheet, income statement, and that on a quarterly basis we give at least budget to actual income statement.
Actually, what you're asking for, Fred, is something that's required as part of the function of the finance committee, is really getting management in tune with the finance committee to provide those things on a quarterly basis. We are supposed to review all of that quarterly. So,
in that case, is there need for a separate motion or not?
I don't think so, but there may need to be more implementation push. With management, we need to make sure they provide
motion.
All right, I'm only present because we have a governance committee report. We have several motions.
We have 4 minutes left.
What's that?
4 minutes left.
Yeah, we have 6 minutes, 5 minutes left. So I'm going to call on Mr. Wainer. Dr. Wainer? Okay, thank you, Rebecca.
Well, it's either John or Dr. Choice. I don't know.
Dr. Wainer, I didn't know where that
is. The first motion is on is printed on the back of the agenda, so on page 2. We have a proposed motion with regard to attendance policy. As you know, there have been meetings where we have not obtained quorum. So in order to address that, there are four components to this motion. The first one defines what a notification for an excused absence. You have to, if you want to request an excused absence, you have to send it to the chair and to the secretary by email or by phone or written or spoken. and excuses. Excuses are basically whatever the world can consider. There's no really no limitation excuse. They are very wide. They include health, family, personnel, previous commitments, transportation issues, work commitments, lack of funds, pre-planned vacation, emergencies, political emergency, efficiencies, that sort of thing. And the third thing is, and this is where it gets interesting, is that excuse absence will in future be limited in number. There will be no more than three absences, shall be excused, per LSP year. And the LSP year starts in December when we see it, and extends until November until the next batch of people can or not come in. And the next thing is the quorum. In order for us to execute this, this policy, we have to count people that show up to meetings. So if, for example, if we call a meeting and three people show up, we count them, and everybody else is marked as absent. And we have to do that in order to tell who's absent. So the issue there is attendance for non-quorum meetings shall be recorded. All absences that result in a lack of quorum shall be considered unexcused. So in other words, if you want to be counted, you have to show up. And then you be counted, and that's how it works. So if there are any questions in understanding what this will be, this will, I think, cause attendance to go up. I see hands going up, but Michael, do you want to handle the queue, or do you want me to answer your questions?
One brief question. The list of acceptable excuses is just by example. In other words, somebody doesn't have to present a note and adopt it to the congressman. You're just giving an idea.
Don't eat my homework is a good one.
So in other words, you just say, I have an excuse for political...
Yes, your word is taken.
Okay.
Kidding.
I think Lydia has hand up first. I didn't have my bylaws with me there. I'm a part of the bike. What is the exact wording? Because I thought that it was... more than three unexcused absences. So you're saying this would constitute, you're saying you cannot have more than three unexcused absences. Is that correct?
That's
very responsible. And then, because at the end of the motion, it doesn't say, and then what?
No, it says we're not going to excuse more than three absences. You can continue to have absences, but they'll be unexcused. If you have three unexcused absences, then you're off the LSP. That all we're saying is if somebody who's absent 11 times with an excuse is not functioning as a member of the board.
Oh, okay. So
we're going to
exclude
three absences and then we'll stop excusing them.
Okay, so I'm going to vote against this, although I understand the spirit. I do like the fact that you're defining what an excused absence is. But I don't want to get into a territory without having a legal opinion from the Certificate of Council as to where if someone has a long-term illness or something and we're stopped by this motion or whatever it is, that we're limiting the term of a member by virtue of this. I don't think it's clear enough, so I'm going to vote against it.
They can pick it up. So one of the reasons why I helped draft this motion is that as it exists already between the interim program council, I believe, and the LSB a couple of years ago, they had created attendance policies which had no teeth in it. It was like, you can make an excuse for everything and a half, and you could still be considered an LSB member. Now with this motion, it would be, life happened, we understand that. And it would be three excused absences for whatever reason that it may be, which would be outlined to the secretary and the chair, and then people still have three unexcused absences before it would be dismissed from the actual board. Now what this would do is it would give you almost half a year for you not to be here. Now that to me seems like you'd be a dysfunctional LSB member. So that's one of the reasons why we crafted this motion the way that we did, is that we understand things happen, but we also realize that we need to function as a board in order to move forward.
That doesn't make sense to me. I just think I'm so extremely good at
it. I'm going to agree with, well, I don't know if I'm going to agree with Lydia, but I'm going to go to, first of all, we're time. So,
we'll
to
extend.
And no, we already voted not to extend.
It's a new movement to extend.
Nobody wants that. And anyway, I need to think about this. We need to look over the bylaws and Roberts and see what, you know, what the capital cost before we accept the new rule.
I did hear a motion to extend. I did hear a motion to extend. Is there a second to that motion?
On the
floor?
Yes. You can't move to extend or anything else because of the floor.
You have to have a floor.
But look at John Comstock.
We announced at the beginning of the year.
Wait a minute, you've seen me twice now, and I'm still in the
theater.
Yeah, now, with regard to Lydia's question about the bylaws, if the bylaws say you get three excused absences, what we're saying here is that we are no longer going to excuse everything, as Brenda says, for everything and a half. We are just going to be real clear about what an excused absence is. This is board policy. The board, if somebody comes down with, I don't know, lupus or, you know, severe cancer or something, we can change the policy on a special case-by-case basis, but we're not going to do it ordinarily because somebody, you know, decided they had to get their fingernails done or their hair cut or something. We're going to say you have to, you get three excused absences and that's it. Unless you have cancer and have a look from your doctor.
Okay, so we are going to be concerned with that.
Well, I just wanted to say Ron Kuncha is a member of this board who said up at the beginning he cannot make any Wednesday meetings, just six meetings. And this board did not elect to accommodate his schedule. Are you saying that John can't be on the board?
That's right.
Okay, so we're at time, and we're going to say that the question is called. I urge you to thank you. And people in favor of this motion, raise your hand. In favor of the motion, raise your hand.
In favor of the motion?
In favor of the motion, raise your hand. Opposed?
I mean, I need to hear the counseling.
I have seven. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Abstentions?
Now, how many were for no? I didn't
hear. Seven, yes, six, no. Abstentions? Okay, last time. All in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. All in favor of the motion, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Come down to the chair. I'm voting in favor.
Listen,
I'm voting in favor. That's 9, 8.
We're done.
We're done.
We're done.
We're done. We're done. We're done.